What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
This podcast is in collaboration with Optometry Times.
Hello, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and today we are talking about one of the most common complaints that you'll get from patients coming into the office, in my experience. Patients hate floaters, but we've never really had good options to discuss with them in the past. I mean, if they're having a vitreous hemorrhage or some sort of dense floater situation that's actually obscuring vision, sure, they could get vitrectomy. But for someone who just has a run-of-the-mill PVD and are complaining about those symptoms, it's kind of like, oh, well, you'll get used to it, right? Well, there's some new technology on the block that's starting to be more of a consideration for symptomatic floater patients, and I've got an expert guest here to talk about it with us. Please welcome to the show Dr. Jessica Schiffbauer.
I'm Dr. Schiffbauer. I work at Virginia Eye Consultants. I went to NECO and graduated in 2016, and then I went on to complete my residency in Atlanta at Omni Eye Services with Dr. Paul Jamian. And then from there, I moved up to Virginia, Eye Consultants. So we're a referral center, also a dry eye center of excellence. So there's about 17 providers in the practice consisting of both MDs and ODs. We also have two residents, and then we also get some externs throughout the year too as well. But we have specialists in every different area, glaucoma, retina, oculoplastics, cataracts, and cornea. So fortunate to be able to work there along many different specialists.
So you mentioned, of course, that you are in an OD-MD referral center, and I think that's a very unique type of practice. What's a typical day of patient care like for you? Like, what are the type of patients you're usually seeing?
There's a big variety of patients that we do see. So it consists of post-ops, whether it be cataract surgery post-ops, it may be a glaucoma, such as a MIGS procedure or tube shunt, and even some retina surgeries. We'll see them for their post-op one days. Also, we just see glaucoma follow-ups in general. We also see a lot of the emergency patients or the work-in patients, where that can range from foreign bodies. It can range from someone that has a red eye. And then also, as we're talking about today, even flashes and floaters in the practice. Other things that I do just throughout the daily basis, also help mentor the residents and the externs. Like I said, right now we have two residents, and then we actually are fortunate to have three externs right now. And then I'm involved in a little bit of some research. I primarily work out at the satellite office, so I get an array of different patients. Like I said, my day kind of varies throughout the day. I'm not just seeing just post-ops one day, and then ERs the next. It's a good range.
So you mentioned that flashes and floaters is a pretty common thing that you're dealing with within your workplace. So when dealing with patients that have a floater complaint, let's say, you know, it's not that acute symptomatic PVD, but someone who's coming back in and they've had, you know, floater complaints for maybe even years, when do you decide, like, okay, this is a person who I need to take seriously about their floater complaints versus, okay, yeah, I know about that floater, we just need to move on?
So I basically kind of base it on the patient's complaints. I ask them, you know, this is something that's affecting your daily life, or, you know, has it gotten any worse over time? I mean, there's many patients that I see that's like you had mentioned, the same floater. I see it every day. Most of the time, these patients are able to tolerate it okay, but I've had a couple of patients where I can't stand this anymore. It's affecting my job. It's affecting, like, what I like to do for fun. And then at that point, I'll get them over to see the retina specialist. I kind of talk to them about their options in terms of what we're doing in our practice to let them know. And sometimes when I do explain to them what we're doing, they kind of get a little bit more hesitant in terms of proceeding with that. So I basically just look at the overall patient, look at their complaints, and see where they are in their daily life activities.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point. I even in my practice can think of patients who have told me, yeah, but that I know you're saying that floater is going to be there, but it sometimes get my way where I can't read and I like reading, or I have a really hard time driving at night now because it's so distracting. So I've given up driving at night. It can really impact their lifestyles, even though we would consider these benign, run-of-the-mill, stable old PVDs. And even potentially cause patients to go have depression or anxiety issues or things like that because the floater is making their lives that miserable. So I think the kind of routine, what we're taught of, you don't need to worry about those floaters, pat, pat, send them on their way. Not every patient is going to be able to deal with their floater, unfortunately.
Yeah, I definitely agree. ironically, yesterday I just had a patient. She had said that she had floaters for many years, and I kind of probed her. Thinking about this conversation, I asked her. I was like, "Oh, does this bother you?" Or she's like, "Oh, no, I just live with it." But you know, two patients later, I had another patient who's like, "I just have a bunch of floaters. This is really bothering me. As you had mentioned, it's affecting my ability to drive. I can't read. I can't sew like I used to." So definitely varies patient by patient.
So what treatment options do you guys currently offer at Virginia Eye Consultants, but then also nationally, what treatment options are you starting to see pop up?
So we're fortunate to have two retina specialists at our practice. Both of them right now, they're only doing vitrectomies for floaters. There's other practices just nationally that are also offering the vitreolysis with the YAG laser procedure. So in our specific practice, what a typical patient that has complaints of floaters, if a patient was a new patient walked in or an existing patient that has the new complaint of the floaters, what we would do is we dilate them, check the back of the eye. Just main thing is we're ruling out any tears, breaks, or detachments in the retina, and you know, tell them what we find. So whether it be just a vitreous detachment or potentially a vitreous hemorrhage. If they do have just a vitreous detachment, I usually bring them back in about a month's time, check it again, make sure there's no new tears or breaks in the retina. And then at that point, I kind of gauge them and tell them what our options are. So I say right now, our retina specialists are only offering a surgical procedure to remove the floaters. And our typical protocol is that we typically say to wait a couple months to see if they're able to adapt to the floater. And I would say a majority of these patients are. So I say they don't usually want to see you right away when you're having the floaters. They want you to wait about 3 to 4 months. And if it's still bothering you, we can get you over to the retina specialist. Now, there are certain situations where a patient is very, very bothered by the floater, and I may get them over earlier to the retina specialist. I had a patient that I saw back just about a month ago, and she was kind of hesitant as to whether or not to proceed with that evaluation with the retina specialist. And what I'm going to end up doing is just checking her back in 3 months myself, and then kind of gauging her from there if she wants to proceed with vitrectomy surgery. But a lot of patients, especially when you say surgery, kind of freeze in the exam room because as soon as they hear that, they think of everything that can go wrong versus everything that can go right with the procedure. The vitrectomy surgery itself is not as invasive as it would be for someone that has a TRD or a vitreous hemorrhage or even a macular hole. So I actually had a patient, one of the patients I saw yesterday, actually, that I was talking to her about getting the vitrectomy done. And she's like, "Oh, am I going to have to lay with my face down for a couple weeks?" And I was like, "Oh, no, that's the same surgery, but for a different condition." So I think, you know, that may be something that runs through our patient's mind that we don't necessarily explain all the way in the exam room. But with the vitrectomy for the floaters, usually a retina specialist just do an air exchange. And then we typically will see them for their 1 day post-op. Their vision's going to be pretty blurry, and by the next week or two, their vision's starting to clear up a lot.
Well, you know, in my mind, a lot of times when I'm thinking about a vitrectomy for a patient with floater symptoms, I'm like, yeah, that's an extreme procedure, because there's a risk of retinal detachment. There's a risk if they haven't had cataract surgery yet, of course, they most certainly might develop cataracts in the near future. But with some of the new advances in procedures, you feel like surgeons are more willing to take on those extra risks now than they were in the past?
Yeah, I definitely think it's improved throughout the years in terms of the vitrectomy procedure. We've had a couple of patients, I think our retina specialists are a little bit more leery to do someone a vitrectomy surgery in someone that's a phakic patient versus a pseudophakic patient, just because of the increased risk with getting the cataract, and potentially if they do have a small cataract in the eye, then if that cataract gets aggravated by the surgery itself, causing extra inflammation, which can lead to an elevated pressure in the eye. But I would say overall, this is a relatively safe procedure now. They typically say about 80% of these retina surgeries are successful in terms of just any procedure for any condition. But as you mentioned, there's always the complications that can potentially occur from the vitrectomy. So we always inform the patients that even though we're removing the floaters, you can actually get worse floaters, whether it happens to be a hemorrhage in the back of the eye. It may lead to a break or tear in the retina, which can lead to a potential retinal detachment. Fortunately, all the patients that I've seen with the vitrectomy procedure haven't had any issues. They're all very satisfied after they've had the vitrectomy removed. But it's something that you just definitely want to educate your patients on to make sure that they're aware that even though this is hopefully removing your floaters, there's always a risk for complications as well.
It's almost as if even though the risks, you know, are low and you guys are having wonderful outcomes, you have to tell the patient, are you willing to risk blindness out of this eye to not have floaters in this eye? For some people, I think they'd rather not see than to see their floaters. And I guess if it's that extreme, then that's a good surgical candidate.
Yes, correct. And, you know, like I said, most of the time the patients I always tell them, especially if they're pseudophakic, that this is a little bit more invasive of a surgery than it is for cataract surgery. And then just letting them know that. And like I said, sometimes some of them get a little wide-eyed or kind of freeze in the exam room. But, you know, any surgery, unfortunately, can lead to blindness, whether it be cataract surgery or retina surgery. But like I said, most of the patients that want to go ahead and proceed with the surgery, we do wait a couple months to see if they're able to adapt to the floater and not notice it as much, and that they're able to still adjust to their lifestyle activities.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the newer treatment options that's coming out. This is still not widely performed, looking at research that I've read around the country, but that's YAG laser vitreolysis, where you're actually using a YAG laser to, to break up these large bodies of floaters into much smaller particulates. In your experience or in your research, what are some of the things or complications that we might deal with a procedure like that?
So very similar to a vitrectomy too as well. So the main thing with the YAG laser is potentially getting a retinal break or tear, or even a detachment. If the patient's phakic, once again, it may cause damage to the lens itself, or even just the pseudophakic, it can cause damage to the IOL. And some of these patients might actually get an elevated IOP. Now, obviously, this procedure is nowhere close to being as invasive as a vitrectomy would be, but there's still the risk, and I still think that's something to bring up to your patients. But also when you're examining someone that has the complaints of floaters, and when you're letting them know the options, patients are very apt to going straight to the web and Googling what can be done about the floater. So I think it's important that they know about this vitreolysis, and then also just knowing what the retina specialists in the area that you practice in offer. So as I mentioned, at our practice, we don't offer the vitreolysis currently. I was actually doing a little bit of research myself because primarily we've been telling patients that there hasn't been anyone in the area doing vitreolysis. And I actually got on a certain website that promotes the vitreolysis, and there's actually one retina specialist in the area that does it where I live. But just in general, in Virginia, there's only about 10 practices that are offering this as a procedure. And it was interesting to see a map just nationwide, and there's very few practices that offer it. You know, just talking to a couple different retina specialists around the area, you know, I think they're just more comfortable with just doing the vitrectomy, which is something that they've been trained on multiple times. They found good success in the surgery, and this is just something that's making its way. But I definitely think it's important to educate your patients about this procedure, because like I said, this is something that's less invasive than what a vitrectomy would be.
And you're right. I've had multiple patients coming in asking me about this procedure or saying, can I do something with laser? So it's easy for patients that have floater complaints to Google and find out information about this. And if you haven't been asked by a patient in your chair about this procedure, give yourself another couple of weeks because it's probably going to come up. What's been interesting though is the studies are a mixed bag a little bit on some of these. Looking at a 2016 study about satisfaction of patients, it says 93% of the patients, 296 eyes, were satisfied with their YAG vitreolysis procedure. But then I look at another study done by Dr. Shah, published out in 2017, and it said only 54% of the patients that had YAG laser vitreolysis treatment reported improvements in their symptoms afterwards. So it's not a 100% you won't see any more floaters again sort of procedure necessarily.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So there's definitely some variance between how the patient satisfaction after this procedure. The earlier study that you were talking about with the 93% of patients being satisfied, which was done by Dr. Singh up in Wisconsin, and he actually has a great video kind of showing what the vitreolysis would be. But during that procedure, they're actually trying to break up the floaters into smaller fragments. With the study with Dr. Shah, as you had mentioned, you know, only about a little bit over half of the patients were satisfied with after the results. But even when they examined the patients, they said that there was a great improvement in the amount of floaters that they were actually seeing, which I thought was very interesting. I think it's also something that you need to look over, like look at the overall patient and see what their job or their hobbies may be, as some patients may be a little bit more sensitive to certain things that are being done. Now, I've actually had the chance to just talk to Dr. Singh about the vitreolysis, and he is very, very satisfied. He does it in a lot of his patients, and his studies have shown that there's 93% of improvement, even though they may still have some floaters in the eye itself.
You're so right. Looking like deeper into the Dr. Shah study that showed the much lower potential improvement in patient symptoms, when they visibly looked in the retina, the way the floaters looked to the retina specialist was significantly improved. So they're blasting up these larger floaters in this procedure. That's working. But how is a patient's brain perceiving the leftover residual small fragments? For some patients, that might be a huge improvement and they feel like everything's great. And for other patients, they might see a ton of little spots of floaters as equally or more annoying than the one big large one. So it's not like it's eviscerating all of the jelly. Versus a vitrectomy patient, there really is literally no floaters at all left. So comparing those side by side to certain patient population, then they may even be like, well, I don't even want a little string of floaters at all, and rule themselves out of that vitreolysis procedure.
Correct. I definitely agree. And just looking, you know, and looking at the studies, I think there's some wide variance. And I think it's important to tell your patients that too, as well, that we can start with the vitreolysis. And then, you know, this some patients do really well with this, others do not. And, you know, letting them know that the next step may have to be surgery to actually remove the vitreous, which I also think is one of the reasons why some of the retina specialists are just heading straight to vitrectomy. They're skipping a step in the process, that they're not having to do the laser procedure first and then head to the operating room. But just letting some patients know that that option is out there is great. One thing with the vitreolysis I will bring up, that it's key that the treatment zone, that they're aiming the laser in the right area, because if they don't aim the laser in the right area, that can actually cause more of the complications and increase that risk to the patients.
Wow. So with that all being said, and knowing that there aren't a ton of ophthalmologists at this point offering this procedure, I know that I have been, whenever a patient's coming in asking me about it, kind of saying like, oh, that's not really performed, there's a lot of risk involved, and like pushing it back. But now with more of this research coming out, I am starting to feel like maybe I'm doing a disservice to my patients to steer them so strongly away from considering it. What are you doing in the exam room for patients coming in asking about floater treatments to make sure that they're actually getting the chance for a procedure if that's something that they want to pursue?
Yeah, great question. So I will specifically tell them what we're doing in our practice, but I will let them know that the laser procedure is out there and tell them that there's very few physicians right now that are actually doing this procedure. But as I mentioned, many of them will turn to WebMD or another source on the internet to look up to see what the treatment is for this. And even when I was just Googling it myself, just overall to see what was coming up, this procedure does pop up pretty early on in the search. And I think if we're not educating our patients fully about the procedures that are available, there's going to be a little bit of the rapport with the patient, and potentially they may have some questions about that. But I typically tell them what we're doing in our practice, and then we'll say that, you know, there is some retinal specialists that are doing vitreolysis. There's very, very few in the area. And then just same thing, tell them about the risks and the benefits with both of those two as well. And I would say overall, there's not a lot of questions about the laser procedure. The surgery, like I said, working with the retina surgeons in our practice, patients will get a little bit more hesitant about it. But overall, I think if you're just educating them upfront about it, I think there's more rapport to be built with that patient.
So the take-home message is we need to, now more than ever, be open-minded to listening to our patients' complaints. Even though a floater we've been trained to think of after it's been persistent for a while, we know it's not a retinal tear, retinal attachment. We're not talking about acute PVDs here. We've been trained to think, oh, those are benign, you'll get used to it. We need to be more aware, kind of very similar to how we're treating dry eye now. The way that they affect our patients' lifestyles and the kind of detriment that it could have on the patient's mood, their mental well-being even, is a real serious medical complaint. And we should take those seriously and make sure that we're giving our patients the opportunity to at least discuss and consider their opportunities for treating that.
Yes, I definitely agree on that.
Dr. Shafar, thank you so much for your time today. If anyone is listening to this podcast and might want to reach out to get more information or even just follow along with what you're doing in your career, since you're doing so much interesting work with research, what's a great way for them to get in touch with you or to follow you on social media even?
So they can reach out to me just via email is great. It's perfectly fine. My email is just jshiffbauer1@gmail.com, and I am more than welcome to answering any questions or concerns that you may have from patients specifically about this procedure or even the vitrectomy in itself as well.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.